He's a lucky snake from Disney Music to get us going on this section of the program. Thank you so much for being with us today as we take a look at reptiles as pets. And we missed by a day. Yesterday was National Reptile Awareness Day. So we're a day late, but we're not a dollar short because we have a great guest for you today to talk about reptiles as pets. Over 6 million households in the U.S. have reptiles as pets, according to the American Pet Products Association. And we're going to talk about how to keep a pet reptile and why we should appreciate them with our guest, Bill Stewart. He is the owner of WPS Reptiles. It's a business that entertains and educates children and adults about reptiles. And if you own a reptile or a pet, maybe you could tell us about the joys and challenges of that, or maybe how you overcame a fear of reptiles. Hope to hear from you. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Bill Stewart, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of this today. This is awesome.
Tell us about WPS Reptiles. What's the mission of the organization? Where and how did you get it started?
I started WPS Reptiles in 2020, and my point is just to kind of not only educate people about reptiles, but entertain them as well. I think there could be something really powerful in interacting with reptiles hands-on. So I do a lot of presentations that are geared towards kids and families, teaching kids about reptiles, what makes them excellent pets, why they're important in their ecosystems in the wild, and just supporting people who do keep them as pets. And so my whole point is just to educate and entertain. I bring reptiles to birthday parties and school assemblies, and I've done corporate presentations and all sorts of stuff. So it's been fun, but I've been a reptile educator for 20 years doing it with different other groups, and just starting my own business in 2020 was really gratifying.
It must be. How did your love of reptiles begin?
Since I was a child, I was a little 3 or 4 year old boy fascinated by dinosaurs. And I think I was about 5 years old when my dad found a garter snake in the yard, and I was just instantly hooked. Snakes are fascinating animals, and little five-year-old Billy was very excited, and I've just loved reptiles ever since then. I have been keeping them as pets since I was 9. I think I was 9 years old when I got my first lizards. It helped a little bit that my mom and dad were allergic to cats and dogs. My mom was allergic to cats and dogs, and so we couldn't have conventional pets, and I think I might have tugged on those guilt strings a little bit and getting lizards and snakes. I was 16 years old with 15 tanks in my bedroom with various snakes and lizards and stuff like that, much to my parents' chagrin, but they were supportive of me still. I've just been fascinated by these animals my whole life.
What are some common misconceptions about them?
There are a lot, and a lot of the education that I do is trying to help people kind of realize like eliminate the misconceptions and the myths. A huge one is especially associated with snakes, that snakes are trying to chase you, snakes can eat you, snakes want to hurt you, and that is far from the truth. Usually snakes, even when they're most dangerous and in their most defensive behaviors, just want to be left alone. They don't want to become prey to something else. They don't want to get hurt. They want to protect themselves. And so they'll behave in a way to just kind of be left alone. But we as humans think that they're out to kill us, that they're going to chase us and want to eat us when we're not looking. And that's a huge one.
Yeah. Vern in Boyd, Wisconsin has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Vern.
Hi. Yeah, in 1950 in town of Wilson out here, we got a little creek. It's got a little bridge across it. And from down south, the entire little creek was filled with snakes, water moccasins, and I don't know if they're rattlesnakes, but they could swim in water 3 and 4 feet long. Then they had a sea turtle like 2.5 feet long that was black, and these guys were shooting with their shotguns and .22s. They must have killed 50 or 100 snakes.
Well, that's a sad story, Bill.
Yeah, I understand that people are afraid of snakes, and I respect that. There is a danger when interacting with venomous snakes. Water moccasins and copperheads can be venomous. A lot of times you're putting yourself in danger by messing with them, and the best thing to do is leave them alone. Obviously, if they're in a situation, if you're in a situation where the snakes are not wanted, if you find a venomous snake in your backyard or in your neighborhood, there are people to call that can safely remove it and relocate it. I definitely would love if people stopped killing snakes, but that's quite an uphill battle that I'm fighting. But interacting with snakes, interacting with venomous snakes, you're putting yourself in danger when it's just easy to leave them alone. In the springtime, snakes are coming out of brumation and they're breeding, so you're going to see a lot more of them. They're going to be a lot more active in the spring months when it's starting to warm up. And again, I mean, if you could just leave them alone, that'd be great. If they're in a creek bed on your property or you're worried about your kids getting hurt, the best thing to do is to call the DNR or call a local business that can just remove and relocate them safely.
I was thinking as you were talking about, you mentioned rattlesnakes, I think. I had a guy on the show a few years back who's was talking about a person who was studying rattlesnakes and was studying a mother with her babies. And the kind of care that she gave as a mother. And I think we don't view snakes in that kind of capacity.
No, we don't view that. And I think those of us that keep reptiles as pets and those of us in the community that study reptiles more are learning more about reptiles and reptile intelligence, that they're not just, you know, fight or flight brainstem machines, but there is some intelligence to them. And there are some reptiles. I'm not as familiar with snakes, but I am definitely familiar with lizards, and particularly skinks are lizards where the mother and father skink are going to live in a family unit. They're going to raise the babies together, and they're living more in these like family cliques. And there are some species of reptiles that do have like maternal instincts. They're not just going to lay their eggs and ditch. They're going to lay their eggs, protect the eggs, and protect the young. The most well-known of that are crocodilians, alligators. Anyone who's come across an alligator nest knows that the mom is going to protect her eggs and protect her young. So there can be evidence of like maternal instinct in reptiles. That is interesting about snakes. I'm not as familiar with that maternal instinct with like snakes and venomous snakes, but I'm sure the evidence is there. Rattlesnakes have live birth. So where most snake species are going to lay eggs and young are going to hatch out of eggs, rattlesnakes carry their young and have a live baby that's born. There are other species of snake that do the same thing, and that could be evidence more too of more of a maternal instinct that's found. But that is interesting that there's the research on rattlesnakes being more maternal.
How can or how does WPS, your company, WPS, sort of refute these misconceptions that exist about reptiles?
I think the best way to do it is just by interacting with the public. If I'm at a birthday party or I'm at a community event and I'm there with my animals and kids and families are able to come up and handle the animals, all the animals that I bring, I usually bring lizards, I usually bring snakes, I bring tortoises, I have some frogs. All the animals are safe for interaction, so the kids aren't going to get bit. The animals are used to being handled, and I think that interaction in and of itself can help people kind of recognize that snakes aren't dangerous, that reptiles aren't trying to hurt you. But just having that hands-on interaction and those conversations with people, you know, I've had a lot of people approach me at my events that are, you know, scared of snakes or nervous, but they don't want to be afraid. They want to ask those questions, and having a little bit of empathy with people too. Like, people aren't, you know, malicious and on purpose in their negative thoughts. It's sometimes just that people don't know better, or people grew up in environments where, you know, mom and dad were afraid of snakes, grandma was afraid of snakes, so now I'm afraid of snakes because I've inherited that fear. And having empathy with people and their experiences can help to kind of combat some of the myths and misconceptions about reptiles. But it's just that grassroots, you know, conversation at a park or conversation at a pet shop, where I think that could be really powerful for people.
Yeah. Do you do a lot of presentations like that through WRS Reptiles?
I do. So with WPS, I do like smaller birthday parties. I'll do larger school assemblies. I love supporting the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, so I'll do events for them. I also am on the board of directors for Badgerland Reptile Rescue, which is a reptile rescue in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We act as a humane society almost for reptile species. We'll take in animals that are unwanted. We'll make sure they're healthy and we'll find homes for them. And then I'm on the board for the, it's currently called the Wisconsin Herp Association, but it used to be called the Madison Area Herp Society. And we've done a lot of education and presentations and resource fairs in the community. So in those three areas, I've done a lot of reptile education.
My daughter's a senior in college and in marine biology, but she's a big herp a lover and worked at the Milwaukee Zoo last year and I think last summer on an internship, and I got a lot of joy out of giving presentations to kids when she'd have a snake or another herp, another reptile to talk about, and she always said the kids lit up and were always excited to be able to touch or handle the animals that she presented.
They're fascinating animals, and they really are, and they're truly unique. And, you know, you could read books about reptiles and you could see them on movies and TV, but to interact with one and handle one, it's truly a unique experience, I think. Of course, I'm biased. I've grown up with these animals, but I think that there is something really powerful in that. And I, you know, my full-time job, I work with kids in the community. I'm a therapist, and working with kids with attention issues or anxieties or whatever, sometimes having a reptile present can help grab a kid's attention. It can sustain a kid's attention. And there's such a powerful interaction in those moments.
Bill Stewart, our guest today, he is the owner of WPS Reptiles. Great to have him with us as we talk about reptiles as pets. And maybe you have a reptile as a pet. I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts about them. Or maybe you have a question or maybe interested in obtaining one. Number to call is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks for joining in today as we take a look at reptiles as pets with our guest today, Bill Stewart. He owns WPS Reptiles. And if you type WPS Reptiles into your Google, you will find get to their site, which is, he's got some great pictures, great photos, and a lot of really good information about reptiles and about his business, WPS. Kathy in Bayfield has something for us. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Larry. I've always been really enthralled with snakes. And back there many years ago, I lived on a small farm in Door County. There was a hay field that hadn't been mowed the previous year, and I was out running with my dog and walking through the property, and this entire hay field in the spring was just covered with little coiled patches of snakes, all different sizes, sunning themselves. There must have been at least 100, and it's just been one of those remarkable, kind of wondrous moments that I've kept in my memory over the years.
Oh, that's great, Kathy. Comment, Bill?
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. I wish I could have seen that field myself. It would have been really cool. And I appreciate that you thought it was a really beautiful sight as well. One of the most common snakes we have in Wisconsin is the garter snake. They're black with kind of greenish yellowy stripes. There's different species of them in Wisconsin. And they will kind of, the reptile version of hibernate is brumate. And so in the winter months, they're gonna hunker down in underground in, you know, caves and whatever. And brumate, and they all do it together. So the word is a hibernaculum. They're all going to be in there. There's hundreds of them in these little hibernating areas together. And then when the weather warms up, they're all going to come out. They're going to warm up, and then they're going to mate. and you can find these garter snakes, hundreds and hundreds of them all over the fields. In Door County, especially, that's a really good place to see them. That's a really cool story. I haven't seen anything like that. So I'm going to have to go spend some spring months out in Door County.
Kathy, thanks again. Appreciate it very much. That's a wonderful story. And doesn't sound like you were nervous or scared. That's a good thing, too. Ruth and Eau Claire will go to you. Hi, Ruth.
Yeah. I was replanting some things last week. As I was shoveling down and throwing the dirt, out pops a frog. And it clearly had been in hibernation. It just didn't hardly move at all. And I was wondering, you know, a lot of people are planting trees and putting other things in the fall. What do you do? I mean, I left it sitting out. I kind of covered it up a little bit, but I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
The next morning it's to be gone, but.
Yeah, Ruth, thank you for calling. What about that, Bill?
That's a really good question. Honestly, these animals are very adapted to the environments. Their generations and generations grew up in Wisconsin, and they know how to survive on their own. If you see a frog in your yard, if you're digging up a tree and you dig one up by accident, moving him aside, he'll find another place to go. Leaving them outside is fine. I know people get nervous about the winter months, but these animals have lived in Wisconsin before we did. And they know how to survive and they know how to adapt in these climates and the weather changes. So if you accidentally dig up a frog or dig up a toad, set them off to the side, out of harm's way is probably the best thing to do. You know, the same recommendation, if you find a snake in your yard that you don't want, moving them as close as you can to where you are, but out of harm's way is fine. Turtles crossing the road, just move them off to the side of the road. They know how to find their way around. They know how to survive, and they know how to change. They know how to adapt in the changing environments outside. So the best thing to do is let them mind your business. They're a good thing to see in your yard. Frogs and toads and snakes are going to eat the things that you don't want in your yard. They're going to scare away the things that you don't want messing with your gardens. And so they're kind of a little lucky charm if you find them in your backyard or your garden.
Marie in Wausau will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Marie.
Well, I actually wanted to thank you for this topic and for educating people. We kind of fell into being, we own a Western hognose pet because there's so many allergens in my house. No cats, no dogs, no birds. And what I found out after we got the snake is that my family feels about snakes the way I feel about rodents. So do you have any advice, first of all, for talking to people who you're trying to overcome a lot of fear of snakes, but also when people talk to you about getting a snake as a pet, do you have any resources you direct them to?
That is an awesome question. I'm going to try and remember there's kind of a multiple things that we could touch on in there. There are still a lot of people that are afraid of snakes. There are still a lot of people that don't understand how important snakes are in their ecosystem, the niche that they have in their environments. There are a lot of people who are just wish snakes were dead. And it's hard to combat that. I think what I try to do my best is figure out where that is coming from in some people. Some people have a hatred or a fear of snakes because they had an adverse experience as a kid. Maybe they got bit, maybe they fell on a nature hike and bumped into a snake. I know people who are afraid of snakes that have never even interacted with one in real life. And sometimes that interaction, so your family who don't like snakes and they think they're gross, without being pushy, maybe they would be willing to like see you holding the snake or learn more about it. Because I think a lot of that fear just comes from not knowing. And a lot of that fear comes from just, you know, again, those myths that snakes are going to kill me, they can eat me. As far as keeping snakes as pets, that was one of my things I wanted to touch on is just there's a community out there. Hognose are very beautiful snakes, and they're awesome pets to have. They have the cute little faces. For those of you who are listening who are not familiar with hognose snakes, they're called hognose snakes because they have a rostral scale. So the tip of their nose has a little pointy scale that digs up, and it kind of makes them look like a little pig nose. They use it for digging and burrowing purposes out in the wild, but they just have a really cute little face that's become really attractive to people, and they've become really popular pet snakes recently. There are in the state of Wisconsin, we have a multitude of reptile expos where you could go and purchase a pet snake. You can talk to people who live in your community who work with them as pets, who breed them. And so my advice would be to do research in wherever you live on what reptile expos are in your area, that you could go and buy pet snakes, but you could also talk to breeders and learn from them. Social media is a pretty powerful tool for that. So you could find Facebook groups that are specific to hognose keepers where you can ask questions about their care. And you could just share your love and find other people out there who love hognose as much as you do.
Yeah.
That would be my recommendations.
And in terms of any written materials or anything, you have some things on your site, I believe.
I might on my site, but if I don't, there are some really great resources. I could share them with you guys after the Zoom call of some really good websites that can provide more information on keeping snakes as pets, keeping hognose as pets.
That sounds good. Thank you. And Marie, thank you for calling. Ruth in Chippewa Falls, your turn.
Yes, I used to live in Florida, and I went walking on a boardwalk in a park, and there was a man pointing out a snake ball, and he said it was a bunch of snakes that were mating. Do they do that here?
The garter snakes will do that here. I've never seen it, but when garter snakes breed, female garter snakes are twice as big as the males. And so when they're coming out of hibernation and they're warming up in the spring, they do breed in these weird balls. There are other species of snakes that do it too. Anacondas down in South America will do it, where anaconda females are twice as big as the males. And there's a poor anaconda female slithering just trying to mind her own business. And there's 30 snakes like all coiled up on top of her, all balling around trying to be the one male to break through and complete the deed, so to speak. Sorry if this is I'm trying to be as appropriate as possible on the radio. We do have garter snakes in Wisconsin that will do that. And it is a very bizarre sight to see if you've never seen it before.
Ruth, thank you. Bruce in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. I just want to mention two things. One is that there is an illicit trade in some endangered reptiles, and people need to be careful about that. Reptiles can be brought in from overseas illegally, and that results in a very high mortality rate when it's done that way. Also, I think some reptiles, particularly iguanas, tend to have a really high rate of salmonella infestation. I might be wrong on that, but I remember reading that.
There are some species of reptiles that are a little bit more notorious for having salmonella, and a lot of it comes from, obviously, reptiles hatch from eggs. And when they are young and they are kind of fresh from the egg, there could be some remaining egg material that's on the animals. Younger kids are going to get salmonella if they play with a reptile and they don't wash their hands and then put their fingers in their mouths. The best way to combat salmonella is by simply washing your hands with soap and warm water after you interact with a reptile and making sure that surfaces are clean. So if you have a pet lizard and he's sitting on your kitchen counter and then you put him away, make sure you sanitize the kitchen counter afterwards. But just that hygiene after interacting with a reptile is the best way to combat salmonella. But there are instances of people getting sick from reptiles still, making sure that if you keep a reptile as a pet, you're keeping their cage clean, their water is clean, you're cleaning up after them when they make a mess, and you're keeping yourself clean after you interact, and that's the best way to do it. Really quick, too, I'll be 20 seconds. There are still instances of animals being smuggled into the country illegally. There still is a sect of reptile keeping where they're wild catching animals and keeping them as pets. That's a whole rabbit hole that we could go down on a different day. But there are in the state of Wisconsin a tremendous amount of people who are keeping these animals legally, obtaining them legally, not you know, illegal, not smuggled. A lot of the DNR in the state is very active in making sure that people are keeping the animals legally. And there are people, like I said, that are breeding these animals ethically. And having a population of animals that are bred and in captivity will help eliminate the need for them to come out of the wild. And that's something that we as reptile keepers really advocate for, is, you know, buying an animal that is captive bred, that someone hatched in captivity in the state of Wisconsin or, you know, in one of the 50 states. The animal's going to be healthier. It's going to be a more rewarding pet. It's not going to succumb to illness quite as a wild-caught animal would.
Well, on that note, here we are about out of time, Bill. I want to thank you so much. I hope we could, I mean, there's a lot more we could talk about that we haven't had the time to cover. And so I hope you'll come back and be with us again and we can talk again about reptiles.
I would love to come back anytime. This was awesome. I would love to, you know, come out and be in person at the studio next time, too. That would be fantastic. Bill, I'll bring some critters with me next time.
Okay. Bill, thank you so much. Take a look at his website. Just type in WPS Reptiles. Bill, of course, the business located out of Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's great to have him with us, and we will get him back, and we will do this again for sure. Fun talking with him. And we got a fun group, as a matter of fact. We got some great producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod. We got great technical directors, Lee Rayburn on with me today, but Jeff Robbins as well. And our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, of course, and I hope you'll stay tuned because there's lots more in store right through the day here on WPR News.